Okay, you're being recorded. Okay, I record all the classes, and so this is just the notification that you're being recorded. Okay? If you go to my website, it is www.pgrosser.net. I'm Priscilla Grosser. And then we pick our course, which is CIS 159. I do put notices on this front page, so you should check it occasionally. For example, the first meeting of the STEM Club is Wednesday, and things like that I will put up on this first page that are kind of general for everybody notices, so it's worth checking occasionally. Okay, so once you come in here, you go to CIS 159, and that is the layout for this course, okay? Notes and handouts and PHP code examples are the kind of the main place that you'll be going. I also put a link to the specific code examples in the page. So for starting today, or starting Thursday, depending on how we do, we'll be using the first group PHP. Okay, so if you download that and unzip it, you will have the examples that I'm going to be going over at the beginning. Okay, so these are kind of the first set of examples. Once we've got you logged into CIS Web, my suggestion is that you download these and put them up on CIS Web so that you can run them. Okay, PHP is run off the server, and so it is, you will be running them, everything that you do, all of your work, will be run off CIS Web. Okay, so if you download these and put them up on the web, then you'll have them and you can work with them. And so every week I will put up the ones that we are going to cover, and my suggestion is that you do that before you come to class, that you plan on, I put these up usually Sunday, and that you plan on at some point before class downloading them and getting them up onto your CIS website so that when I go over the examples, you can go over the examples with me. Okay? How many of you have used CIS Web? Okay, so most of you. Okay, which actually brings me to my next question. How many of you know how many of you don't know HTML? Okay. So, I think given that, I am going to kind of review HTML today, but I'm going to do it at the last part of the class, and those of you who know HTML are welcome to leave or sit through, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I will do that the last part of the class. So, the first thing is, homework assignments are posted sometime during the week. Okay, I may post them early. I may wait until I see how far I got during the week and not post them until Thursday night or Friday. They are due the following Thursday, so you basically have a week to do them. Okay, so they're due the following Thursday. Unless I specifically say on one example, I want you to do this in time for the next class because I want to go over it. And that won't happen too often, but occasionally I do that. Okay? So everything is posted on here. I put up the week of, as I said, usually on Sunday, sometimes earlier. And it gives you what you are supposed to do. At the bottom, I have a sign that says assignments, and assignment information is down below that. Information that you're supposed to do for material is above. Okay, so you should go in, you should follow the assignments and do it. my suggestion is that you come up with some kind of spreadsheet or something where you keep track of when you pass assignments in, when you get them back, what the grades are, and so forth. Because usually at the end of the semester, or always at the end of the semester, I ask you to fill out a status sheet. And for some people, that becomes an overwhelming task. Whereas if you have kept track of what you did all semester, it becomes a very easy task. And in fact, you can send me that spreadsheet if you actually keep one. I do not correct work that isn't good. Okay, so essentially, if you pass in work that has a bunch of mistakes, I'm going to point out the mistakes and send it back to you, and it will not be graded. Okay, and I will ask you to fix and resubmit. The goal here is to learn the material, not to pass in an assignment to get a check off. The goal is to learn the material because you are planning to build a career that is going to involve you needing to know this material. So that's our goal. So I don't correct anything that isn't close to being right. I send it back, and you and I can go back and forth at that point. As you fix, I send back, you fix, I send back, and finally it works. Okay? So that's where that's handled. Okay, the syllabus points out a possible reference book that you can get. I basically do not require a book. There's enough information on the web, and I've got a few links there, but there's enough information on the web and at my site that I honestly don't think you need to get a book. But if you like one, then that's the one I suggest. Okay, grading. 80% of your homework, of your work, is homework, programs, code, quizzes. What you do is 80%. Okay? 10% is for you being a responsible person, i.e., that's where I deduct if you don't pass things in late, if you pass things in late. I take late work, I grade it as if it wasn't late, but I note it that it was late, and that's where you lose points, is in the 10 points there. Okay, so there's 10 points about keeping up to date, quality of work. If every assignment I have to send back to you 3 or 4 times, then obviously that's going to take a hit as well. Okay, so the 10% here is, you know, based on your responsibility. And then 10% is the final. Everything, finals, quizzes, programs, everything is taught such that it doesn't happen in class. Those are all things you do at home. Okay, so quizzes, and exams are all take-homes, including the final. Okay, the final is a take-home. This is a hybrid class, but in fact, I teach it like it was a student option class. I will be here most of the time. There is 1 week in, I think it's late March, early April, that I may be out. But I am here most of the time, and I teach it much more like a student option than like a hybrid. So it's your option whether or not you want to come to the class. So that's why everything is online. Quizzes and everything are online because you're not required to be here. Okay, so it's taught like a student option class. I think there's 20 of you. How many are here? About 15, so it's close. Actually, I want to take attendance. That's a blank piece of paper, so here. We're going to start and get an attendance and find out who's here. I want you to email me once a week. That's the main reason I do it, the way I do attendance. I will periodically decide to take attendance. And I try to remember to do it, but I usually forget. So, what I want to do is I want to hear from you once a week.
And it can, if you do have homework, that's hearing from you. So when you pass in homework, that's hearing from you. But if you don't pass in homework that week, send me a good excuse or something like that. And that checks you off as having been in class that week. Okay, and that's especially important at the beginning of the semester, because about 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, I have to report who is actually in the class. And if I haven't heard from you, then as far as I'm concerned, you're not in the class. Okay? So be sure that you do it, especially at the beginning. I can no longer give a W. Okay? So I can't withdraw you after a certain date. I can give it to you up till a certain date. But after a certain date, I cannot withdraw you. And that date is right at the beginning. You can withdraw yourself up until about mid-semester or a little later. They post the date for you. You can withdraw yourself. After that, if you haven't completed the course, my only option is to give you an F. So you need to take responsibility for, if you're not doing the work and know that you're not going to do the work, you need to get yourself out. Because I don't have the option of giving you a W at the end of the semester anymore. Okay. A bunch of you won't pass, and it will be based on not doing homework. Okay? I typically have about a third of my class not pass. And there's absolutely no good reason for it except that you don't do the homework. And if you don't do the homework, then I have nothing to grade you on. Okay? Again, this is a course that directly relates to what you want to do when you get out. And so it makes ultimate sense that you actually do the work and learn the material, because it's going to help you to get a job. So, I will nag you periodically. You should be nagging yourself on a regular basis and getting assignments into me. Okay, any questions? Yeah?
You can do extra credit?
Yeah, I frequently throw out one extra credit, but I won't promise. But usually I put up an extra credit to try to get do some salvation. Okay, other questions? Okay. We will also set up some labs where you can come for help. Usually I do those Tuesday or Thursday at 2 o'clock. So right after my classes, basically. And Monday at 10, usually. Thank you. Monday at 10, I usually do it. So if you need help, you can come for help. My SI for CIS 120 is actually in this class. And Lindsay, and she is in this class, so you can guess that she probably might be able to help you if you have a problem, because she's doing the same work that you are. So when I set up the labs for the CIS 120 class, if you can't come when I am, you can come and give it a shot, okay? That's not what she's being paid for, but since she's in this class, since she's in this class, you know, she can work with you, and she's got to do the same homework, so that will work as well. Okay, hopefully you all got an email giving you your login information. And I think they went out last night. So go find those and let's make sure you can log in to PHP, to do PHP.
Do we need to use the
WinSCP
or
whatever? Yeah, you need to use WinSCP.
Also, I see that you have to make an HTML page, I guess. I made over the break, I guess. I have an entire website that I made.
Okay, that's
fine.
That? Yep.
Yeah.
If you can't find your username and password, I supposedly have them. But if you just signed up for the class yesterday or today, you may not be on the list. Okay. All three of those computers aren't working?
Yeah, I'm logging. It's taking forever. It's all black screen. This one logged in, but then when I went to go open up SEP, it crashed.
Yeah, so this one's been trying to log in for like 20 minutes.
Oh, goody, goody, goody.
Hey, it's the first class.
I'm always happy.
Just be happy to smart board sign up.
I was here yesterday making sure it did. Actually, Kayla and I were in here for about an hour yesterday making sure that would at least work. And you're right, I did. Password, and then we will go and log in. Okay, so the first thing is you want to go to CIS software, and that's why I said you had to log in correctly. So you're going to go to CIS software. And then you're going to go to WinSCP. Okay. The host name is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay. Leave the 22 under port number, leave the SFTP under file protocol. But you need to enter here your username and password. Okay? And some of you will be able to do it, what depends on what version they have. You can't type anything in username unless you hit login in this version. Okay, so you have to hit login and then you can type in your username. And your password. Hit continue when it says that and then type in your password. And you have to then go to public HTML. Okay, so when it comes up, you need to go to public HTML. And you probably won't have all of the junk that I have floating around. So you can just see, it will just be one of the few things. Yeah.
I typed in my password, and it says that the access
is not going to come to you.
Okay, you're sure you typed in not your regular password, but the right one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and that may well be a problem that they've got to fix. I found somebody last night who was trying to get into Oracle, and they had something had expired, God knows why. So if you can't get in, if you tried it a couple of times, you've done it a bunch, so watch. Okay, go ahead, go back out and try again.
Got the host right?
Yeah.
That's what's key, that's the solution.
And that was the MySQL.
And that's in the access.
Okay. How many people are having problems? You both are, okay. Bristol CIS web. CIS web.bristol. And you're sure you got the pad on the CIS web.bristolcc.edu? Okay.
Just out of curiosity. Yeah, I got the same thing when I tried being you. So, you're getting the same thing? Okay.
So, they were doing
the Linux password. Well, the Linux password is to get in.
Yeah.
But once you're in the CIS WinSCP, and then you use the MySQL.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't working.
Okay.
No, WinSCP is the same as the Linux.
That's the one I put in.
Yeah, it's the first one. The SQL, the second
one. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, the Linux password is what you get when you sit down and log in on the machine. Right?
No.
That's the login.
That's your BCC email login.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Well, no, it's... Okay, you turn on these computers. What login do you use?
Whatever you set up your account with. The access BCC password.
So the Linux password, no?
Well, no, because it's a different Linux. It's a Linux password, but it's a different one. So it's whatever they gave you.
All right, then why did they give you two passwords here?
Well, like even Oracle, when you have signed Oracle, you use two passwords. You're going to use the Linux one. My Linux to sign into the Oracle the first time around is not the same as my access.
None of the information that we have for logging in should be the same as the access.
Right. So WinSCP.
Yeah, when you walk.
When I go into WinSCP, okay, here I go. And I hit login here, but I hit cisweb.bristolcc.edu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Email for this class had two passwords. It had the Linux, and then it had the MySQL. So,
okay, so this is just the Linux password.
This is the Linux password. So there's
all right.
Two passwords in the email.
Yep, okay, so when we get to MySQL, we need the next one.
All right, sorry about that. I was thinking that the first one was what you did to log in. So try it with the Linux password. Okay?
I'm supposed to know this stuff. Okay, so I must have done P. Grosser. Okay. So does it work if you put in the Linux password?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody's in okay now? Is everybody in? Not you? Okay. Okay, and that was stupid on my part because, in fact, I do know that you need it. Once we get to the database, which is what we're going to use, that we should have MySQL there. So anyway, the Linux password is the one that you're supposed to be using. Okay. Then once you get here, you click on public HTML. And then you go in, and I have a load of things here. You don't. But what you want to do is download the examples that I gave you and then upload them here. Okay? So on the website, you want to take this first group, PHP, and you want to get that up onto CIS Web in your area if you want the copies of my examples. Okay? So that first group, PHP, you want to put up there. Okay? So I already did it. And I have a CIS 159 S17 that has the first group PHP up there. Okay, so there are my examples. Okay. So under public HTML, I created a folder, okay, and I created the folder that says CIS 159 S18. Okay. So you can go in under Files, New Directory, and under Files, New Directory, you can set up a folder. And I would suggest you keep them in folders, because otherwise you're going to lose track of what's your stuff, what's my stuff, and what goes with what. Yeah?
Does it matter if it's zipped or unzipped?
Well, you're going to have to unzip it eventually.
Yeah, I know, but I mean like on the actual server.
I just put the zipped up there so I'd have it.
Okay.
So I unzipped it first and then put it up. And then just, loaded up the folder, basically. So what I do is I unzip it and then I drag the folder, the entire folder, over. Okay. So I would go, I would unzip first group PHP at some point, and then it unzips into a folder, and I drag the folder over and put the folder into the website. Okay. And then just as backup, I put the zip file up there too, just so I have it and don't lose track of it. So I just put the zip file up there more as, backup. And you have other forms of backup, so you don't really need to do that. So download the first group PHP, unzip it, and then drag the folder over so that you have the folder there. Does anybody need help with that? Anybody else need help? Okay. Hey, you guys want to help some people that need help?
Why don't
we? He does.
Well, I will.
Okay.
Whenever it loads.
Oh, all right.
Finally, okay.
I Okay. And once you have it over there, if you open it, you'll see there's just a whole bunch of examples that we're going to look at. So the first one I'm going to look at is the one that says helloworld.php. Okay, that's what we're learning is PHP, and it has a PHP extension. Okay. So if I right click on this and say edit, it opens up the code. Okay, so I can now see the code. So I'm starting out and I'm putting it inside HTML. And as I said, I'm going to go through this example or two, and then I'm going to stop and go over HTML. So my first line says, explanation, doc type HTML within the less than and greater than signs, which makes this a tag. Because in HTML, the less than and greater signs are tags that will tell you what you are doing. And what this tag does is tells the browser that you're using HTML5, which is the latest version of HTML. If you don't have that line, it will default to whatever your particular browser defaults to, and probably an older version of HTML. Okay. Then I put an HTML tag to tell it that I'm starting the HTML. And notice that the HTML tag down at the bottom, I have the close HTML tag. And the close tag just has a slash in front of the word HTML. So those are the open and close. HTML has both a header section and a body section. So in the header section, I'm simply telling it that the character set that I'm using is the standard, which is UTF-8. And I don't really absolutely have to have that there. It's just convention to put it in. And then I tell it the title. And this is the title of the page. And when I run it, it will show up at the top, okay, on the top left. And notice the title has the open and the close. So I have the start of title. These are called markup tags. And I have the close title. And then I'm done with the head and I close it. Then I go to the body. And in the body, I'm putting a header. And H2 is a kind of header. I can have H1 through H6. H1 being biggest text, H2 being smaller text. And so that's plain old HTML, and I'm putting it out. And now I'm going to embed PHP into the body. So PHP can be run standalone, which we'll look at, but it is most frequently embedded in the body of some HTML, which is why you have to know a little basic HTML. So PHP is embedded in it. And the way I embed is I start out by saying less than sign question mark PHP. And that tells the browser that everything from this point on until it hits the question mark with the close is PHP. And so the browser can then interpret and work off the server and handle PHP. Okay? Now, to put something up on the page in PHP, I'm using the echo command. And the echo command is going to put up on the page, hello world in PHP. So it's echoing it out on the page. So what we want to do now is see what this would produce. Okay? So I'm going to go over to, here's a page. I'm going to put up here on the page the address where I can find this. Okay? So here is what I want to run, and now I've got to come up with an address that will run that. Okay, so I'm going to start by saying, first of all, I want cisweb.bristolcc.edu. So I'm telling it the host, and when I tell it the host, okay, it goes and looks for the CIS web server at Bristol CC in order to be able to find it. Then I do a slash and a tilde, and the tilde is over right under the escape, and it's that curly line. So I put up a slash and then a tilde. And then I put my username. So my username, I don't have a number after mine. I predate that, but you have a number in your username. Okay, then I look to see where is this located. Well, it's located in my directory called CIS159S18. And it's called, and it's also in a subgroup called First Group PHP. Okay, so I need to give that information, and then the actual page is, what was it, helloworld.php. So I need to tell it up in my address, go to the CIS159S18 directory, and then go to the First Group PHP directory. And within that, you will find helloworld.php. So I have to convey all of that information in my address. So I am going to write, okay, first CIS159S18. And then First Group PHP. Okay, and then it was called helloworld.php. So there's my address, and I need to capture that. And there is the page. So there is the page. I remember how not to have that keep flashing up. So here I have the hello world, and that's coming out right up there. And then I have my echo statement, and that's coming out there. And I have my title, which is up there. So that's how I run it. So when I'm working with PHP,
I open it in a browser so that I can see the results by giving it the address. And I then can run it, and if I change it, I can run it again.
Okay? You can either write the code offline in Notepad and then load it up. Or you can go in and edit it when it's online and put all the work in there, do the writing right there in the edit when it's online. Caution, if you do the writing online, be sure you back it up by downloading it to one of your devices. They don't do a great job of backing up CIS Web, so don't count on it. Make a copy and keep a copy. Okay, so far we haven't had problems, but they keep telling me that they don't back it up on a totally regular basis. Okay, then and then.
Just so everybody knows, don't write public HTML.
Yes, don't write public HTML and don't write home. See how it says home over here and public HTML? The tilde takes care of that. So you don't include those in the address. Yeah.
So, just to make sure, so Echo is basically like print screen in JavaScript?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That CIS 159 part in the URL, what did you find that on the one SMP?
You only have
I made that.
Oh, okay, because it's not based on
JavaScript. Right. No, I made that. So you're going to download first group, and you can decide what directory you want to keep it in. And what name the directory is. I just decided I wanted to keep this group in that directory, so I made a directory like that. Okay? Since you're only doing it 1 year, you don't really need to do that. You can just keep it in first group PHP. Okay? But I basically am doing it from semester to semester, so I want to keep track of which semester I'm in.
Should I be able to get that to
you? Pardon?
Should I be able to get this? Up yet, putting the URL. I'm trying it.
I don't know what this is.
The Hello World,
which is on the desktop.
Should this work yet for me?
You've got CIS Web, and you've got your name, first group PHP, which is fine, and then Hello World PHP, and yeah, Okay, that's as far as I'm going with PHP today. I'm going to flip back and go over a little review of HTML. If you know HTML, you can either stay here and do whatever you want to do, or you can leave. But I'm going to go over a little bit of HTML.
Are you going to do HTML the rest of the class pretty much?
Yes, because there's only a half an hour left.
All right.
So I'm done with PHP. And if you're having problems...
What, did you find what it was?
Well, he didn't put his in the public HTML. He's upside down.
Oh,
so I think that's... Now it's
going to be used. Yeah. Okay, public HTML. If you're having problems, I'm volunteering Lindsay to stay and help you. So if you're having problems getting on, you can stay. And
For the rest of you, go to my homepage and bring up the HTML5 example. All right, HTML5 example. And we will take a look at that just to kind of go over HTML. HTML is where PHP is frequently embedded. You'll see that I can actually run it when it's not embedded, but usually it's part of a web page. I have a web page that I've designed, and I need some stuff from a database that I'm going to put up on the server. And so I'm embedding the PHP in my web page in order to get the stuff to put up on the server, the stuff from the server to put up there. And so PHP is embedded in HTML. Now, for this course, you don't have to do a lot of fancy HTML. You just have to be able to do some of the basics. And the basics that I think are worth knowing are on this page. So we're going to open this page by saying View Page Source. And if you view page source, you see the page. So, I've started out, and we'll look at the CSS in a minute. CSS is style. But I've started out and I've said, okay, HTML, this is the head, that's the meta character set, there's the title. And then I put in something that is called style, type equals text CSS. And we'll come back and look at that in a minute. When I'm done with style, I close it. And the slash in front is what I use to close something. And then I close the head. And again, I have a slash in front that closes the head. And then I start the body. Okay. The body is what is appearing on the page. And I put the code in the body that I want to be on the page. So the first thing I wanted was an H1, which is the biggest font of header. So there's the H1. It says, now we will generate. And there it is, now we will generate. So it's in a big font. Okay, now the style kicks in, because if I want to have it a particular style, I can put it in the CSS, which stands for Cascading Style Sheet. So in my H1 here, I put a curly brace, and then I use the style thing that you can, if you go to W3 schools, you can find a lot of this. You put in a style thing that says, I would like this to be text aligned in the center. Okay, so I want this to be centered. And so up here you can see that this line, which was the H1 line, is centered. And it's centered because I told it to center it by saying the style of an H1 is going to be centered. Okay? The way you write that is you say text align, colon, and then one of the words, left, right, or center, and then end it with a semicolon. And it's all within curly braces. Okay. And we'll be looking at the HTML as we go along. So it's not all absorbed now. The other thing that I did way up at the top in the style is I said, I want my body, which relates to the body tag, I want my body to have a background color of that, which is beige. You could actually write the word beige, and it would also work.
And I wanted to have a color, and that means font color, of navy. So it set up a background color of a background color of beige. And it said every font will be navy unless I tell it otherwise. And then when I came down to this text align for the H1, it aligned it, and it aligned something that had a color of navy. Because I said everything in the body is going to be navy blue. So it aligned it and made it navy. Then I went down and said, okay, the H2, which is a little smaller font, these are the words I want. If I look up here, I didn't put any H2, so I'm not changing anything about that. But it will be navy because I said that the body is going to be navy. Okay. Then I went to an OL. And my tag says OL, and OL stands for ordered list. Okay, OL stands for ordered list. And an ordered list means just that. I want to set up a list and I want it to be ordered. And the interpretation of ordered is I will number the things in the list, 1, 2, 3. So here's my ordered list with 1, 2, 3 numbered. Okay, here's my ordered list with 1, 2, 3 numbered. The things that are in the list are given LI in front and close LI afterward. LI stands for list item. So those are items in my list. Okay. So I have an ordered list, and the LI stand for items in my list. A little further down, you can see I have a UL, which is an unordered list. And here's my unordered list, and that puts a dot in front. So an ordered list now goes 1, 2, 3, and an unordered list puts the dot in front. Now, if you really want to get into style, you can have it put a square in front. You can have the numbered list be ABC, but we're not interested in that, okay? This is just kind of some basics. Okay. So those are some of the basics of this. Questions so far. Does that make sense? Okay. W3 Schools, as I said, is a great place to go and get some reference material. You can also go to my CIS 120 class and look at the notes there, because I'm going to start HTML in my 120 class today, actually. So if you kind of follow along with the 120 class for a day or two, you'll see some of the examples there as well. Okay, so now I've got a very basic page. And I'm adding a few other things to the page. For example, my H2, I put what is called a class on it. Okay. So notice this H2 has the word class equals header 2. Class equals is what I had to write, and then I made up a name and put it in the quotes, which is header 2. So I made up that name. It's a class. Now, why did I do that? Because I already have an H2, and I am putting in a second H2, and I want to treat them differently. I want to treat the H2s differently. That first H2, I didn't want to do anything special. This H2, I want to do something special. So what I said was, I will tell you the special things up in the style under header 2. So I look up here and there's header 2. The dot in front of it means it's a class. So that says if I set up class equals header 2, I go up to the style and I find dot header 2. And that tells me what I want to do with the header 2 that has that class. And what I want to do with it is I want to align it to the right and I want to make it green. Okay, so I'm going to look and it really is aligned to the right. It's just you can't see it right then. But now you can see it's over there aligned to the right. And it is green. So this is the second header 2. And I said, text align it over to the right and make it a color green. So that particular header 2 that has the class of header 2 is going to be pushed over to the right and it's going to be green. So this got pushed over to the right and it was green. Then I said, okay, here's my unordered list. And there's my unordered list. And then I went to what is called a div. Div stands for division. And you can use a div or a paragraph, which is just a P inside the tag marks. You can use a div or a paragraph to set things up, kind of group things. The difference between a div and a paragraph is a paragraph skips a line when the paragraph ends. A div doesn't. Okay? So if you read a book where they skip a line whenever they start a new paragraph, that's like a P. If you read a book where they don't skip a line when they start a new paragraph, that's like a div. Okay. So in this div, this particular div, notice I have two of them, one of them has a class associated with it, and I call the word larger. So if I come up here to dot larger, it says push the font size up to 18 points and make it green brown. So it pushes the font size up bigger, and it makes it brown. Okay? So that's what I did with that particular division. When I came down and did another division down below, this is a second division, and it's right here, this is a second division. That one didn't have the class of larger, so it's got the regular size font and the regular color that I set up of navy. Okay, that first division says this is a division, and then it has a BR. Let me go over if I can and get it all the way over. It goes on forever. Okay, I can make this, it doesn't need to be there. If I was in Notepad or something, rather than looking at the source, I could have hit enter here and had it go down on the next line and it would have been fine. But what a BR does is a BR is break. And a BR is like hitting enter on the keyboard, it moves down to the next line. So a BR says, act like you hit enter on the keyboard, and it moves down to the next line. So that division writes, this is a division, breaks to the next line, and then puts in another sentence. And then it closes the division over at the end. Okay, so if I go back and look at this, there it is, this is a division. Then I break down, but I'm still in the same division, so it's still large and it's still brown. And I write out the next sentence, which is, this is a break followed by another sentence. and I write that out.
Then I close the division, so the next division is just ordinary. Then I put in a paragraph that does a line skip. And then I said, okay, now I want another division that's big and brown. So I said, division, class equals larger. And it goes up and says, okay, write 18 points brown. And it makes that 18 points brown. And then I went to another division that doesn't have anything associated with it. And it wrote it out. Okay. The last thing that I have on here is an AH reference, and that means it's a link. AH reference is a link. And I put in the link, which was to my home page. So I wrote http://www.pgrosser.net. So that means this is a link that will go to that page. And then after it, I wrote the words that I wanted to show up here, and they show up here as Grosser homepage. And then I made another link to BCC, and that has the address of bristolcc.edu, and that's the BCC homepage. Let me move that so you can see the whole thing. Okay. And then I close the A. The A is an anchor. So I have A, H reference equals, go to my page, and then I close that. There's the greater than sign. So what I have is an A, and then H reference equals, and then I put the address in here, okay, and then I close that A. So the A has the address inside it. Then I close the A. Then I write some words that I want to show up, and so I put in words. And then I have a total close of the A. Okay, this is the greater than sign that goes with the A. This means the A is all done. And then I put a BR because I wanted to go down on the next line. Okay. So that's how I wrote it. So the stuff that I've got here is probably pretty much the most HTML you'll need, but I'll introduce the HTML if you need something else as we go through things. Questions? Okay, this should be written in Notepad or some other text editor. If you don't write it in a text editor, then stuff happens behind the scenes. If it's just HTML, it has an HTML extension. If it is HTML with PHP embedded in it, it has a PHP extension to let the browser know that this is going to be involving PHP. And it knows that if it involves PHP, it's probably involving HTML as well. So it handles the HTML as well. Okay, now you guys said you didn't have HTML, right? Did you have any exposure to it at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And you looked like you were.
Yeah, it's, I took 120, but we went over HTML for like a day or two at the most.
Okay. Yeah, and that's about all you need, really. It's about a day or two's. Because we're going to be embedding the PHP. And if people know HTML, they can do some fancier stuff. But the goal here is to learn PHP. But you have to know enough HTML to be able to set up a skeleton for it to go into.
this class is not going to be about making beautiful work papers. Okay, that's much more of the 122 class, and not some of the others, but this one is much more about the practical, use databases off the server, etc. And HTML, as we've talked about, is not a programming language. So there are no if statements in it, there are no loops in it. You can do those with JavaScript, but if you do it with JavaScript, that's not stuff out on the server. That's local, okay? So if you want to have somebody put in a password, you definitely don't want to use JavaScript, because you can read the code where it checks to see if the password is correct. JavaScript has been supplemented with things like Node.js and things like that that allow more server-side interaction. But PHP is a language that is built for this, and so it really works very well. You can embed server-side things, so what we're going to see is that we can have an HTML page that then goes out to a database and finds the record about you and finds your password and can then check and see if the password you enter is the same one that's stored out on a database, which is a much more secure kind of situation. Okay? So PHP is going to let us do that kind of thing. And PHP is a full programming language, so it has loops and it has if statements in it. Okay, questions?
I use the source, the PHP source, in the browser. I can't see when I use Chrome, I can't see the PHP source.
That's because you're using Chrome.
What's that?
That's because you're using Chrome.
Really?
No, there's a way to do it. I just don't remember. I'm in Firefox. And partially I like Firefox because it does have a menu. And I actually didn't even use the menu. But if you come up here and say menu bar, you can pick up a menu bar in Firefox. And you can barely see it up there, but really it's there. And that menu bar lets you open and do things. So that's why I choose Firefox. If we go into Chrome, and I'm going to have to remember... Okay, anytime now. Okay, does anybody know Chrome well enough to know how to find the source?
Right click anywhere.
Okay, just a minute. I'm going to put up the page, same page that we were looking at. Okay, so now right-click anywhere?
Yeah, and then view page source.
Oh, okay, so it's easy. Right-click, right-click.
The PHP isn't showing
up, I'm saying. Oh, no. I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. I thought you said the HTML. No, the PHP will not show up because it's secure. So what happens is I run the PHP on the server. It comes up with what the browser has to do. And it sends down to the browser, this is what we're going to show.
Okay.
And so the PHP doesn't show, because if I could view it, then I've lost all the security edge that I get.
Okay.
So view page source will indeed show the HTML. Good. Glad you made me remember that, actually, anyway. Because, as I said, I use Firefox, and so I don't always remember that. All right, any other questions?
I just wanted you to take a look at this one.
Okay, hold on just a sec. Any other questions? Okay, I'm done.